You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Father, I just thank you for part three of Limitless. I thank you, Father, for every single person that is going to be tuning in to this broadcast, whether it is live, whether they're watching the replay, Father, whether they're listening to it on the podcast, Father, I thank you that they are here by divine appointment. I thank you that this is a revelation that causes a revolution. And I thank you, Father, that their lives are about to be revolutionized as they step into the revelation that we are going to be sharing today. I just yield my body right now, Father. I yield all of my faculties. I say, think through my mind, spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Speak through me and empower your body today, Father. Build them up, encourage them, edify them, and remind them of the truth of who you are and what you possess and what belongs to them as a result through their union with you. And so I just say, make it clear, make it actionable, Father, make it something that they can implement right away, make it something that can be applied today, Father. And I thank you for rapid, rapid, miraculous breakthrough and transformation as a result of the words that they will be hearing today. Thank you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so thank you for great faith being imparted as a result of today's broadcast. And I pray and declare these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for hanging in there with me, you guys. For those of you that are just joining, you don't know that we had some little technical problems this morning, but I am here. And I think it's no coincidence that I had technical problems today, because this revelation that I'm going to be sharing today is absolutely revolutionary. And it's what people have been crucified over since the early church days. Because there is power in the gospel. There is power in the name of Jesus. And so we are in the middle of the series that I've entitled Limitless. And we've been talking about the fact that we are limitless in Christ, that our potential is Christ. We've been talking about the idea that all things are possible if we can believe, that things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And I even said that I think that that is one of the most powerful statements that Jesus ever spoke, that all things are actually possible. And so today, I wanted to hop into why all things are actually possible. And the most important thing to believe that we as believers need to understand and need to believe, okay? And today we are going to be talking about the limitless power of Jesus Christ. We are going to be talking about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. We are going to be talking about the power and authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you have been walking around charismatic circles for very long, I mean, it doesn't really necessarily depend on your theological or your denominational background, but you may have heard stories or you may have heard sermons about the authority and the power that is in the name of Jesus. And if you've been in deconstruction for a while, meaning you've been deconstructing from fear-based doctrines, and maybe you've stepped out of traditional, charismatic streams, or you've stepped out of, traditional denominational streams because you just began to see the proliferation of separation from God. Maybe you've gotten a hold of this union oneness message with Jesus. And because when you get a hold of it, it's like you see separation everywhere. You hear it in worship songs. You hear it from pulpits, and you just are kind of like, wow, I just, it's all finished. Not sure I can listen to this anymore. So you may have maybe it's been a while since you've heard a story or heard a sermon about the power that's in the name of Jesus. But I absolutely am spirit led today to talk about this topic. It goes right in line with just the prophetic word that I've been speaking over 2024 about, it's don't quit, be unstoppable, learn to manipulate and govern and dominate the matrix or the seen realm or the world system. I've been talking about that in some shape or form in the prophetic words that I've been doing all year. This word of the month for July, phenomenal grace, phenomenal, was a very powerful word that if you have not listened to it, you should go back and listen to it, because all of these things that I've been talking about are very, very connected, because it is time for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's past time. Okay. It's overdue. We have been, you know, the traditions of men have made the word of God of none effect. We have been living passively, way too passively in the body of Christ. We have been, under circumstances many, many times, instead of dominating circumstances and many times. And so the things that I'm going to be talking about today are very, very important and very, very powerful. And so stick with me as we go through these things. I also wanted to talk about this topic specifically about the name of Jesus and the power in the name of Jesus and the supremacy and the limitless power of Jesus Christ, because many times when you start to tap into teachings that talk about, you know, that all of creation is conscious. I mean, I've been talking about some really powerful things, right? That Jesus spoke to a tree and it responded, that Jesus spoke to storms and they were still, that Jesus rebuked fevers and they left, right? And I've been talking about it from a scientific perspective. I've been talking about it from just the laws of how God created the universe to respond to human beings. And those are very, very powerful concepts. In fact, you don't even necessarily have to be a Christian to understand the science of what, you know, manifestation. I mean, you can read about the law of attraction. You can understand about the observer effect. You can read scientific studies about the placebo effect and the power of human belief and the power of thoughts and emotions. And you can really step into the science of these things. And you can operate in these things to a very powerful degree, just because the human race is made in the image of God and we are recreated in Christ, whether we recognize it or not. I mean, human beings are powerful by design. They are divine by design. And that divinity is governing creation, whether we are awake or asleep, to our union with God. I mean, this is just the way the universe operates. But however, there is a big distinction between operating in the laws of quantum physics or the laws of the different laws that govern the way that human beings can have an effect on matter and can have an effect on creation. Like, those things are, can be observed in a lab. There's a very big difference between kind of the way that God designed the universe to work and the authority that we, as those who are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, who live in union with Jesus and have been given the name of Jesus, can operate. Okay. Like, there is a vast difference. I mean, we can override all of these universal things, these universal laws, you know, the quantum physics laws, the science behind the way creation is designed to function in relationship to human beings. There's a very big difference between the way that a new ager or the way that a scientist would approach these truths, like the placebo effect, you know, like a Joe Dispenza, or like, and I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, name names here, but there's a very big difference between the way that those people are going to operate in these principles and the way that a believer operates in those principles. And the main difference is that we actually have been given the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to hop into this today, and I wanted to start with why this is such an important topic. And I got a couple of scriptures that I wanted to kick off on this, because we're talking about the limitless power of a believer, the limitless power that belongs to you and I through our union with Jesus Christ and our revelation of that. Okay, so I'm going to start in Colossians, because Jesus is the preeminent supreme one. He is the greatest, most excellent reality that exists. He is the cohesive, unifying person, but also exists as Christ, holding all things together. He is, in many cases, what scientists and others would call the universal field, right? Like, they don't have a name for it, but you and I do, and the name is Jesus. But I want to hop into Colossians, because it talks about who Jesus is and sets up this supremacy of Jesus, that Jesus actually is Lord overall. Okay, so Lord means master. Lord means God overall. And so when we really step into a revelation of this, it changes everything. But before I step into Colossians, I want to also just start with a little bit of background here, because you have to realize that Paul was speaking to the church of at Colossae, the Colossians, because error was seeping in. And many times when we grab a hold of, you know, concepts like energy, and we grab a hold of these universal laws of manifestation and things that are working in quantum science, and it's very, very exciting. Don't get me wrong. I'm a junkie for it. But I also am really, really grounded in my union with Jesus and have an understanding of the gospel and have a revelation of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and what belongs to him and the authority that he carries. And thus we carry through our association and union with him. So in Colossians, I mean, it says there's a couple of different scriptures in Colossians 2 that talk about some of these errors that we're steeping in. And so I just want to start here today. In Colossians 2:8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. If you don't embrace a Christ that is big enough and clear enough," and this is not the scripture, this is my notes, "you'll be a sitting duck for Christ diminishing, Christ distorting philosophies, deceits, and just human tradition." Okay, so Colossians 2:8 says to not be taken captive by philosophies and empty deceits and human tradition or the elemental spirits of the world. Okay, so there's this idea that you can get into philosophy, you can get into tradition, you can get into quantum physics, you can get into topics that diminish Jesus's role in creation and in dominating creation and in manifesting heaven on earth, okay? In Colossians 2:16-17, it says, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink or with regard to festival or new moon or Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." And so you can also get so far into, you know, things like the power of food, the power of minerals and supplements. And you can just stay totally on this like material realm, or you can take it into a religious sense and you can observe, the Sabbath. You can become a Messianic Jew and observe the Jewish festivals and all these things. And he's saying this, you know, that don't allow the things that are just shadows of the things to come to outshine Christ. And then Colossians 2:18-19, he says, "Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, the worship of angels, and going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head." Okay, so this is really coming against just, you know, totally getting focused on encounters and visions and losing the focus of Jesus Christ. And so there are errors, there are ditches on the sides of this idea that all things are possible and that we can manifest through intention and thoughts and words and the power of human beings. And so I wanted to just today really focus in on why you and I as believers are actually limitless, that we are actually operating at a level that is so much higher than quantum physics, that is so much higher than the law of attraction or the secret or any other philosophy or any other truth even that omits the name of Jesus, that omits Jesus Christ. Because it's easy to get carried away down these things if we are not grounded in literally who Jesus is and the power that is in his name. And so now I'm gonna go through some scriptures today. I'm gonna start in Colossians chapter 1, and I am going to just remind us over and over again of who Jesus is, and I'm gonna remind us of the authority that we have through our union with him and our access to being able to use his name. So I'm going to start today in the Amplified Classic Version. I'm going to start in verse 15. And this is the description of Jesus. Okay. I'm in the Amplified Classic. It says, "Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, things that were created, all things that were created and exist through him, by his service and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things. And in him, all things consist. They cohere. They are held together. Okay, so it's in Christ, it's in Jesus that all things exist, that they cohere, that they are held together. I mean, again, quantum science is going to tell you it's the universal field. They're going to have a lot of names for it that they've some even called the divine nature, divine matrix. But it's Christ that is the center of these things, holding all things together. It says, verse 18, he's also the head of his body, the church. See, he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that all of the divine fullness, the sum total of divine perfection, powers and attributes should dwell in him permanently. And verse 20, and God purposed that through, by the service and the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him, the Father made peace, and he would say peace with all, by means of the blood of his cross. Now, these scriptures, you guys, are just worth meditating on. I mean, these are pretty much establishing who Jesus actually is, right? He is God. He is before all things. He created everything that is not God. He holds everything together, and everything was created for him. Like, those are incredibly powerful points about who Jesus is. He is also supreme over the church. He is the head of his body. He is the initiator of the new creation, and he is the reconciler of all things. Okay, so there is no other supreme power. All that God is represented in Jesus Christ. It is the name Jesus Christ. And this may be just feel like elementary, or this may feel like review to you right now, but just stick with me, because hearing these things is important in our governance of creation, in our ability to manifest the will of God, the purposes of God, the new creation on earth, because it is all done in his name and his authority and his power. And when we use that authority and when we speak in the name of Jesus as Jesus, it is literally as though he is in operation. That's why we're the body and he is the head. There is this union that we access in our dominating of the seen realm that comes through the name of Jesus. And sometimes we've said the name of Jesus so much that we've caused the word of God to have no effect. Meaning we've said it, we've become so familiar with the name that we really have lost or never had a revelation of what happens and what should happen when we speak that name. So let's just go through a little bit of this today. In Matthew 28, 18 through 19, and I'm going to hop us through some scriptures fairly quickly, hopefully, so that we can grab the scope of what I'm trying to communicate today. In Matthew 28, 18 through 19, I'm still in the Amplified Classic. It says, verse 18, Jesus approached and breaking the silence, he approached his disciples and said to them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All power, all rule has been given unto me. And of course, then he says, now go then and make disciples. So there was this delegation of that authority and that rule to us in that scripture. But I want to stick with this idea that Jesus has all authority and all power of rule, right? So this means that he has all authority and all power of rule over cancer. He has all power and all rule over poverty. He has all power and all rule over any manifestation of the curse that is present in the earth. He has the power and authority to change it. And we saw that in operation in his ministry, The question is he still operating as powerfully in our lives as he did when he operated in his earthly existence? All right, because we have that exact same power and that exact same authority because we have his name. Okay, now I'm going to go over to Philippians 2:9 really quick because I just want to continue to talk about the power that Jesus possesses and the power that it is in his name. In Philippians 2 verse 9, it says, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. Every name, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So here, you know, in Matthew 18, it said, you know, I have all power and all authority. Well, here in Philippians 2, it's saying that the name that he has been given, Jesus, is above every other name. The word, Jesus Christ, who is the word, there is no more word that is powerful. Now, you can speak it in Hebrew, right? Yeshua. You can speak it in, you know, Spanish. Jesus, right? I mean, it's not, you know, and I, you know, people call, you know, people really get into like, you know, make sure, you know, it's Yeshua. It's whatever. But the point is it's the name and it's the intention that there's an association with that name as the word of God, as the preeminent one, as the supreme one. And when we speak that name, okay, there is something that should happen, that should happen. It's as though he is speaking. We'll talk about it. It's like having a power of attorney, right? That we have been given this name to execute as him, as Jesus himself. And when we have a revelation of this, not only do our words become more focused when we're speaking in his name, but now we have this revelation that it should move, not because, you know, of our great faith, not because of something, you know, a quantum physics principle, but because simply because his name. That's why we can work miracles. That's what we can, without knowing anything about quantum physics, without knowing anything about the principles of manifestation. It's just his name. I mean, these miracles that have been doing in his name have been happening since, you know, since Jesus showed up on the scene. Okay, let's keep going. Now, this is crazy. In John 14, I mean, these are crazy, crazy principles, you guys, that I'm about to share with you. In John 14, in verse 12, okay, let's go down there. It says this. I'm just in the Amplified Classic for whatever reason today. It says this in verse 12. It says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, okay, there's something we're actually believing in, and we're believing in the resurrected, preeminent, supreme Jesus Christ. Like, we're believing in him, like who he actually is. And it says, he himself will be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. So obviously his ascension to the Father was our ascension to the Father. And we would begin to be able to rule and reign in that co-seated reality with him because he went to the Father. But in verse 13, it says this, and I will do, this is Jesus, I will do. In the Amplified, it says, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name. Now the ask there could be more declare, okay? Like there's a, it's not like asking God, it's more like a declaration that I will grant whatever you declare in my name. And listen to this, as presenting all that I am so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Now I'm gonna stop here for a moment because when we say the name, when we declare and his name, when we speak the name of Jesus, it says that Jesus will grant it. Jesus will do what we're asking, what we're speaking, presenting all that he is in, because it glorifies the Father. And then he says, yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you whatever you shall ask in my name as presenting all that I am. Okay, let me just read this in a different translation. That's a very powerful translation. Whoa, right? Super, super powerful. But I'm just going to go to the Passion Translation here really quickly because I feel like we read these scriptures and we've read them before. But this is crazy. Verse 13, for I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. That's what it says in the Passion. I'll do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring him glory. And for verse 14, it says, ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. Okay, this is like anything. Ask anything in my name. Now, whoa, that glorifies the Father. Ask anything that belongs to you in Christ. Just it's like going to the bank and saying, give me my money. I know that sounds so, not humble sometimes, but you guys, this false humility that most of us are operating in comes from the illusion of separation from God, that what belongs to Jesus isn't ours, and what is all of ours belongs to Jesus, that we're jointly co-heirs of the kingdom. We are married to God. We are married to him. And through that marriage, we have access to all. So the ask is more like, you know, it's like, you know, can you make me a cup of coffee? Like the coffee belongs to me. It's in the house. It's my coffee. It's our coffee, right? I mean, it's just, can you do it for me? And so this presenting of all that he is when he speaks his name, like when you have that revelation of the power, when you speak that name, like, you know what? I am telling this cancer to dissolve. I am telling this debt to dematerialize. I am telling this relationship in Jesus' name to be reconciled. I am speaking to the storm and it is obeying Jesus. Jesus is presenting all that he is as I'm speaking to the storm. Like the focus is on a revelation of who Jesus is. When we really get a revelation of the powerful, I mean, just the all-encompassing victory that Jesus has done and purchased and won, then the force of our belief and our faith just simply flows whenever we speak that name. You know, I remember years ago praying for people, and I was an altar minister, a brand new altar minister at this very large church, and people would come up to me for prayer and I'd be so freaked out, like, oh, I hope I have something to pray, or I hope I have, you know, something to give them. I would literally pray in the spirit the whole service, stressed out about when I had to go pray after service. And one day the Lord just said to me, like, Shalice, you are not praying in your name. You're not saying, oh, Jesus, in the name of Shalice, do these things. No, it's my name. Like, it's my name that you're speaking. Get a revelation of my name. I will do it when you speak my name and you know who I am and expect it. And so it totally shifted the way that I began to pray. And when I say pray, that I began to declare things in the name of Jesus. I mean, you guys have heard me talk about, you know, speaking to my washing machine and all of a sudden it starts working. I've had people speak to hot tubs and they work. I've had people know to speak to cars and they work. I've had people drive on E forever because they're just saying, in Jesus' name, my gas is inexhaustible, right? So this is real and it's practical. It's not just reserved for, you know, deliverance. Like, you know, come out in Jesus' name, right? And we're you know, casting out a devil or something. Although it's totally applicable for that. And when you know who Jesus is, let me tell you, those situations will show up, right? So let's keep going. Let's go to 10, Luke. Well, I said Luke 10. Let's go over to Luke. I don't know if I want to start in Luke 10. I want to start in Luke 9. In Luke 9, in verse 1, it says, and I'm in the Passion Translation still, it says, Jesus summoned together his 12 apostles and imparted to them authority over every demon and the power to heal every disease. Then he commissioned them, sent them out to proclaim God's kingdom and to heal the sick, to demonstrate that the kingdom had arrived. Okay? That's Luke 9. Now let's go over to Luke 10 and verse 1. It says, after this, Jesus formed 35 teams among the other disciples. Each team was 2 disciples, 70 in all, and he commissioned them to go ahead of him into every town he was about to visit. And he released them with these instructions. He said, the harvest is huge, but there's not enough harvesters to bring them in. As you go, plead with the owner of the harvest to send out many more workers into the harvest fields. Now he says this, I'm going to go down and give some instructions. And he says, understand this, God's kingdom came, God's kingdom came within your reach, and yet you've rejected God's invitation. He was talking about the people that didn't take them. So listen to this. This is where I want to go. Verse 17, it says, when the 70 returned to Jesus, they were ecstatic with joy, telling him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we commanded them in your name. In verse 18, it says, while you were ministering, this is the Passion Translations, I watched Satan topple until he fell suddenly from heaven like lightning to the ground. Now you understand that I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. And I just want to say, we could also say, now you understand that I have given you the authority. I've imparted the authority to trample on the world system. It says, you will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power that Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. However, your real source of joy isn't in merely the Spirit submitting to your authority. In other words, your joy is not in that you have this power, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority. Now, I'm in the Passion Translation. We could have read it in a couple of different places here, but I just want to keep going, okay? I want to go over to Acts chapter 3 because this is a very powerful miracle, and I'm just going to come out of the Passion because it's a little bit too loose in its translation right now. In Amplified Classic, it says this, now Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when a certain man crippled from his birth was being carried along, who was laid each day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts from those who entered the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them to give him a gift. And Peter directed his gaze intently at him, and so did John, and said, look at us. And the man paid attention to them, expecting he was going to get something from them. But Peter said, silver and gold, money I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. The use of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Then he took hold of the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. And at once his feet and his ankle bones became strong and steady. And leaping forth, he stood and began to walk. And he went into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking about and praising God. And they recognized him as the man who usually sat begging for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement over what had occurred to him. Now, I want to go into Acts 3:16 really quick, because this tells you how it worked. So Peter starts explaining and starts preaching to everybody that's there for the miracle. And he says in verse 16, and he says, and his name, through and by faith in his name, has made this man whom you see recognize well and strong. Yes, the faith which is through and by him, Jesus, has given the man this perfect soundness of body before all of you. Okay, so here in this example, right, this is Peter and John saying, in the name of Jesus, walk. Very simple. In the name of Jesus, walk. And this man who had been, you know, sitting there unable to walk, got up immediately and began leaping and praising God. And then he says, the reason that this happened, and he even tells him a little bit, but don't think that it was our own, you know, power or whatever that did this. No, it was the name. It was us having a revelation of the name of Jesus. It was Jesus Christ operating through us as we said those words. When we said Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth caused this person to walk. Jesus was doing what he said he would do when he said that we would do the same works that he did in greater works. He said, ask it in my name and it'll be done for you so that the Father is glorified. And so these miracles, what we would call miracles or we would call manifestations, are happening because the disciples are using the name of Jesus and they had a revelation of the authority and the power. And this was pre the Pauline revelation that we get in Colossians and that we get in Hebrews about Jesus, you know, being the lawful owner of all things, that he is been given a name, right? Above every name. And so I just wanted today to reiterate these truths, you guys, because if we are going to live limitless lives and we are going to learn to govern and dominate the matrix, yes, our focus, yes, our words, yes, our thoughts, yes, our frequency, yes, our vibration. I'm not discounting any of these things that not only I have taught, but there's many people, I mean, Christian, non-Christian, teaching these things. But let's not diminish and let's not forget the whole dang point, which is Jesus Christ, is the reason that we have authority like no other, right? That takes somebody in a wheelchair and instantly causes them to walk, not because they meditated and, you know, they dealt with their subconscious beliefs and, you know, they recalibrated, you know, their DNA or whatever. No. It was because of the name of Jesus Christ. A simple thing, the name, just the name, just a revelation of the name caused that person to get out of a wheelchair. Just the revelation of the name caused those bills to be supernaturally paid. Just a revelation of the name caused that cancer to disappear instantly. Just a revelation of the name causes the transformation and the domination of the world system and the kingdom of darkness. And so I'm a little fired up, you guys, because this is like, man, I've been in this myself. And you can't help but get fired up. You can't help but get excited about who Jesus is and about what is actually possible. Because the more revelation that you have of Jesus, well, guess what? That's what our faith is in. The more the revelation that we have of who he actually is, then guess what? We live fearlessly. We run to the giant. We run to the storm. We're like, let me in, coach. Let me in. Yeah, absolutely. We can cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Absolutely. Signs and wonders follow us. So let's keep speaking of, let's go over to Mark 16. And here's what it said. Mark 16. These are maybe sermons or things that you've heard before, but I felt very led by the Holy Spirit today to reiterate, to double down, if you will, on our revelation of the power and the glory and the supremacy and the limitless ability of Jesus Christ to actually transform anything instantaneously. In Mark 16:17, it says, and I'm in the Amplified Classic still, it says, and these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. Attesting means these affirming, these confirming signs. These signs will confirm that the gospel of Jesus. It says, in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. Okay. And so signs and wonders follow, miracles follow, manifestations of heaven on earth, domination over time. Reaching out to, to bring abundance where there is lack, to cause immortality and dominion over manifestations of death, right? If death and life is in the power of our tongue, well, life is spoken in the name of Jesus. Death is pronounced to things that are not legal in heaven in the name of Jesus, right? So where else do I want to go as I wrap this up? I've said a lot. I'm gonna wrap up with this pretty powerful scripture in Daniel 7. This is actually a prophecy about Jesus that Daniel had. And it said, in my vision at night, I looked and there was before me one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the ancient of days and was led into his presence. Now this, you guys, I believe is about the ascension of Jesus. Okay. In Acts, he was going on the clouds. In verse 14, it says he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And so, you know, these scriptures, I mean, I had so many, you guys, I could have kept on going, but these scriptures, even the ones that I've shared today, I know I shared a lot. Like this might have felt a little bit like a, you know, like a machine gun of scriptures today. But I just really encourage you to just take some time, read Colossians, read who Jesus is, go into Hebrews chapter 1, read Hebrews chapter 1 about who Jesus is and that he has defeated death, right? Go into Revelation chapter 1 and read about John's vision of resurrected Jesus who holds the keys of Hades and death. read about Matthew 28, like study these things out. I mean, I did this for years. For years when I started my ministry. I mean, this was revelation that caused signs and wonders to be just such a normal part. It's how I launched into healing ministry. It's how I ministered to people on the street and saw them instantly delivered of drugs and all kinds of crazy things. But I'm telling it to you today because we are up, we're signing up for limitless living. We're signing up for phenomenal things by the grace of God to manifest honestly this month. And when I say grace, it's grace, grace to the mountain. And Jesus is the Spirit of grace. Jesus is truth. Right? Jesus is grace. The name of Jesus, speaking to something in the name of Jesus and having it transform, like, okay, what does that have to do with anything with us? It's all grace. It's just allowing God to speak through you and give you a revelation that when you say his name, that all that he is, all that I am is, shows up on the scene. And the more that we recognize that, the more that we meditate on that, well, guess what? The more effective, when I say the more real that becomes in our lives, and just faith skyrockets, you guys. It just skyrockets as you just begin to meditate on these truths. You know, I was talking to a spiritual son just, not too long ago, and they were praying for somebody, and this demon manifested. I mean, it was screaming, it was out of control, and it literally started to choke them. And it really, really freaked them out. And, you know, we just had this conversation. Like, I said, hey, you got to put on scary Jesus. Like, you got to step into that authority. You got to know that your face is like it's not you. They're not looking at you. When they look at you, they see Jesus. Like, you got to leave the scene. And, you know, that level of confidence, that level of manifested union comes as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and impart to us and reveal to us more and more and more of who Jesus Christ actually is. And so I want to encourage you. I don't want you to get so caught up in deconstructing, and I'm not saying deconstruction isn't important. I'm just saying don't get so caught up in deconstructing things that you forget the supernatural power, right, of God, and forget these elementary things. Don't get drawn into knowledge, which puffs up, and forget the person of Jesus, that Jesus is actually alive, that he is a real human being sitting in the Trinity, that he is literally living inside of you, that when you speak his name, he's literally moving. And that we need to really, maybe these scriptures used to kind of intimidate me, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Like, these scriptures really used to intimidate me. You know, you'd hear things like, well, gosh, you know, people are going to ask for, that somebody else's wife in Jesus' name becomes my wife. Well, don't be an idiot. Okay. I mean, I love you, but sometimes I just think I'd like to give people a little more credit than that. I'd like to think that we are, I'm not saying that those things, people are people. But that doesn't mean we should hold back from telling you the truth, because some people are going to abuse it. I mean, even in Jesus's, time, they were like casting out devils and, they're like, hey, who's not for us is against us. But I mean, obviously, like, that goes without saying. Like, it needs to be in alignment with what belongs to you in Jesus. Honestly, it needs to be in alignment as you abide in Christ with what Jesus is actually saying. Like, Jesus, our union with God means my will and Jesus' will are aligned. We have one heart. We have one mind. We have one spirit. So I'm talking to sons. I'm talking to people that are abiding in God and that understand the will of God, that understand the power of that name. And I don't mean that you have to have full knowledge of everything before you start using the name. But believe me, just start using the name. Speak to your body in the name of Jesus. Speak to everything that needs to be transformed in the name of Jesus. And when you speak the name of Jesus, remember what you're actually speaking. Remember who you're actually speaking. It's not a name detached from a person. It's the person himself. So when I say Jesus, it's Jesus. When I say it in his name, these things need to move. They need to bow, because every knee bows. Whatever it is, it needs to bow. The ruler of this world has been cast out. We have been translated out of that kingdom, and we have dominion. And so my prayer is that this fires you up a little bit, so, and gets you motivated to stay in this revelation and go for big, 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 big things. Now, I do have one more scripture and then we're going to wrap. And this is a powerful scripture. I've been reading it in, I've been reading it on various coaching calls, and I'm reading it out of the I'm reading it out of the Passion Translation. It's so very powerful. And I think I even said it last week. It's or week before. It says, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, excuse me, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you." I'm just going to read it one more time. "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you." Excuse me. So this scripture is telling us, you guys, that we shouldn't doubt God's mighty power. And if we're not going to doubt God's mighty power, then we really, it's an invitation to step back into really getting a massive revelation of who Jesus Christ is. So pop into these scriptures, do this on yourself, and watch the results when you speak the name of Jesus completely go to next level, because you are designed to live limitless. You are designed to do the same works as Jesus, and you were designed to use his name to transform the earth so that it looks like heaven. So I love you guys. God bless you. And that's it for today. So thanks for hanging in with me with the technical difficulties. And I look forward to seeing you next time. All right. Use that name. Use the name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.